John 18, John 18. And we don't care if you put your dirty fingers on your Bible. Go ahead. Do it. Amen. John 18. Get your Bible out. I want you to follow it with me today. I got something very important I want to preach and teach today. John 18. Write this down. What is truth? What is truth? John 18. We'll start with verse 37, but before I read, I want you to know that Jesus is standing before Pilate being judged on whether or not he should be crucified, and you know the end result of that. And so that's where we are in this passage of Scripture. Get it in context, get that in your mind. Jesus is going to the cross. He already knows it. He's not waiting for judgment to fall. It fell before the foundation world was ever laid. He knew he was going to the cross. He was going through what he had to go through to die in my place, in your place. Pilate does not know that. Pilate doesn't know that. And so let's read that, and I want to talk a little bit about what is truth. Verse 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. I like the way he did that. You just said it. That's what he's saying. You just said it. Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and to this cause came I into this world, that I should bear the witness unto the truth. Everyone that is born of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate said unto him, saith unto him, what is truth? Now, how many times have you ever heard that question? I've heard that all my life. I've said it a few times myself before I was saved. What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. I find in him no fault at all. That's what Pilate, the ultimate judge on planet Earth representing Rome, said. I was born in South Carolina. I was educated in South Carolina, so therefore I have to prove myself sometimes, because some people think because you speak with a southern drawl that you may be uneducated. But I know how to look things up. And according to John 8:32, the way to know the truth is to obey the truth. And then it will set you free from the lie. And the Bible called the lie Satan. It'll set you free. Truth is mentioned 27 times in the Bible. Truth. And so I looked up the definition in Webster's dictionary. And this is what he said. This is some of the things that he said, but what we want to talk about. The definition is sincerity in action, character, or utterance. The state of being the case. This is truth. The state of being the case. This is the case. This is the truth. The body of real things, events, or facts. The body of it. What's the truth? Well, let's judge it. What's the whole body of this thing? The truth, what we're talking about. The exactness to conformity of the rule. The exactness to conformity of the rule. In other words, if this is truth, does it look like what truth is? Truth. Jesus is going before Pilate. At this time, Pilate was the most powerful man in the nation of Israel. He was not a Jew. He was appointed by Rome and the Caesar. And he had over 1,000 troops to enforce his rule. And if you look at the old pictures of the temple at that time, there was a temple, but right beside it, built all up against it, was a garrison where all these Roman soldiers lived and eat and sleep. He had conquered Israel and shown that by building the garrison right up against what they thought was the most powerful thing on planet Earth, the temple. And so therefore, we see Pilate here, he's an educated man in numbers. He's not an uneducated, he's not an illiterate man. He's an educated man in history. The Roman people and the Greek people were very educated people. They thrived on learning. Always want to learn something new. And later on we'll see that in the book of Acts where Paul approaches these people who are always wanting to hear something new, learn something new. And Pilate was raised this way. Pilate was raised and educated a Roman. And in that day, that would be like us going to Mexico and say, I was educated in the United States of America. Very educated people. He was educated in history. He was educated in geography. He was even educated in religion. And he brought up the age-old question to the creator of the universe. Go back to Colossians 1. By him all things were created. He brought up the question before the creator of the universe, what is truth? Now, that's the way education looks at it, though. Education is learning. And to learn, you got to ask questions. What is truth? In other words, he was saying, there is no ultimate truth. What's, and I'll get into what he probably thought, but did you know that if we look all through the internet and libraries, we'll find out that that word truth confounds people.
Amen.
It confounds people. I don't know what that means, truth, they'll say. I don't know what truth is. I'm going to get on that in a minute. But I looked up on the internet that word truth, and Barnea, the research group, did a study, and it says only about 40% of Americans believe that there is an absolute, undeniable truth. Only about 40% of Americans believe. And we would have to say those are probably Christians.
Right.
Only about 40%. So they're easily deceived. Think about that. And you can look at those statistics up for yourself on www.christianity.com and just look under truth and they'll show you these research things. Now, when asked, the majority answers in this study were this. Truth is whatever you believe it to be. Then that's truth to you. You ever heard that?
Yeah.
Sure you have. You go to college. Some of the most, I better not say anything, you go to college. Others said there is no absolute undeniable truth. Others said people who believe in absolute truth are dangerous people.
We are.
Well, we are. Yeah. We're dangerous to those nuts out there. Amen. So, I thought, well, what is the Christian perspective of truth? Can we know absolute, undeniable truth? Can we know that? Now, the fact is that professing Christians have been affected by these statements that I just read to you. A lot of Christians have been affected. A lot of our Christian colleges and universities now question truth. Because you see, if it's absolute undeniable truth, then you are narrow-minded.
Sure. Good.
You could, in some instances, be called a bigot. I mean, if something's truth and you won't deny it and you'll stand by it to death, you're a dangerous person in the society that we live in. When media goes to a Christian person to ask a question, when was the last time you seen them go to a Bible-believing Baptist?
Yeah. There it is.
They're not going to do it. We're the dangerous ones.
Yes.
And then there's levels of us, and we're way out there on the lunatic fringe, they call us.
Yes.
That's what they call us, the lunatic freeze, because we believe there's an inerrant, inspired, infallible Word of God, and God, holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, and you can't change that. That's unchangeable truth.
Amen. Amen.
So we're dangerous people.
Yes.
Ain't that something? A little widow lady in our church is a dangerous woman. An 80-something-year-old man in our church is a dangerous man. Ain't that something? The world fears us. The worldly colleges have affected our young people in our churches. The worldly universities have affected our young people. The news media have affected our people. The entertainment industry definitely has affected those that want to stand and say there is a truth.
Yes.
And I'll die for the truth.
Amen.
And the entertainment industry, watch what you listen to and what you watch.
That's right.
Watch where you go to school. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I believe that a good, solid Christian can do a lot of things, but if you expose yourself enough to the criticism of the truth, you'll begin to doubt it yourself.
Yes.
All right. Most Christians and non-Christians believe what's called, and this has come from the study, most Christians and non-Christians believe what's called relative view. A relative view of truth. You didn't know you was going to school today, did you? Amen. Well, I'm probably the best teacher you ever had from anyway. Listen, that's not bragging on me. That's saying how pitiful the public. What's called relative truth? And here's what that means. What's true depends on cultures.
Yes.
You ever heard that?
Yes.
Meaning, if a person of a certain culture believes it to be true because of their background or their lifestyle, then it is truth. Well, a lot of us came out of bad cultures. We were saved by the grace of God, and now we admit what truth really is.
Yes.
Now, if you wanted to label me the way I grew up, you had a reason to say that my culture or my raising or my background affected the way I thought. It did. And I needed to be saved from that.
That's right.
We used to have a man in our church, he wouldn't celebrate Christmas. He criticized people that did. He wouldn't have a Christmas tree, and he said we all chopped it down, decorate, and worship the tree. I said, I ain't never worshiped a tree in my life. We get around that thing and have fun and sing Christmas songs, and we know there's a risen Savior, and we're celebrating his birth and all this stuff. He said, well, that's your opinion. I said, no, that's just the way it is. We don't worship the day or Santa Claus or nothing like that. But anyway, he said, well, I don't do that. Well, it wasn't 6 months later. He was going to the way he was raised. He was raised an Indian, and he was going to one of those powwows. And I said, look, they got a tree down there worse than a Christmas tree. He said, no, they don't. I said, yeah, they do. It's called totem pole. I said, now, we are delivered from our culture. We have one culture.
Amen.
That's Christianity.
Yes.
Now, I'm not saying be ashamed where you come from. You ought not do that. But I'm saying this. There's a lot of things that we were raised in our culture that were wrong.
That's right.
And becoming Christians, we get set free from a lot of things.
Amen.
So it's not relative. It's not my culture. Truth is truth no matter what culture you came from. Truth is truth. Well, black people this, white people that, red. But no, it's Christians, born again people.
Amen.
There's one truth. There's not a lot of different truths of different degrees. Amen?
Yes,
others say this. They say, so this is the way they say it. Well, if that's true for you.
Right.
Yeah. Right? If that's true for you, does that include that weirdo I saw on television the other night, and he weighs about 400 pounds, and he's got blonde, curly hair, and he's wearing lipstick, and he says he's a she?
Oh, yeah.
Is that true? How about that woman I saw on TV the other day that's done shaved off all her head, and now she calls herself a he? Is that, well, if that's true for them, no. Let me tell you something. True is true.
That's right.
No matter who you are, where you come from. Man. About 10 done turned me off out there already. I can see it. How about that 6'4" man that looks like me, that wears eyeliner, and says, this is the culture I came from. It must be true. No. True is true, and it doesn't have a thing to do with your culture. And here's the most popular one. We can't judge others' culture. Now, whoever said that is either an idiot or they're lying on purpose. There's some people that live down in South America that will cut your head off and shrink it to the size of a softball and then eat your legs.
Right.
That's their culture, Brother Jeffrey. Does that mean that's true? That's the way to be? If it is, let's start chopping some hands. It's not true. It's a lie.
That's right.
Got a policeman in here. He sees all kind of cultures, but most of them breaking the law. Why? Because our laws were founded on Judeo-Christian ethics. That's why.
Amen.
I know. Hey, I ain't even to my sermon. This is the introduction. One says Jesus is Lord, and another says Allah is Lord. One says one man, one woman marriage. Another one says one man, two women. Another one says one man, another one says one woman, and now some of them even say one man, one dog. Or one man and one minor. Yeah. Yeah. So that's their culture. Is that true? You'd have to be something wrong with you to think that's truth. One says murder. Another says no, it's survival of the fittest. One says you can't judge me. Another said, who's to judge? I'm getting somewhere. Listen to me. In other words, there are no absolute rights or no absolute wrongs because there is no truth. And that's what Pilate said. Pilate said, I can kill you. I can kill all these Jews if I want to. Because I'm of the Roman culture, you're of the Jewish culture, you're ignorant, you're unlearned, you're superstitious, we ought to kill you all. And by the way, later on, they tore the whole city down and shipped the blocks out so they couldn't even rebuild the temple. So let's see what the Bible says. The inerrant, infallible Word of God, the only book on earth that is complete, undeniable truth, proven in every way. John 17:17. He says this, and most of you already know it, but I'm going to read it to you anyway. He says, sanctify them, in other words, set them apart, through thy truth, thy word is truth, the word of God. Now, let me tell you something. There's no book on planet earth that I would agree with 100% outside of the Bible.
That's right. Amen.
You know why? They're all written and authored by men.
Amen.
Moved by men's spirits, not the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And, hey, there's a lot, you know, we will never find other people we agree with 100% all the time. You will not.
Right.
Because we're all frail and piles of dirt. That's all we are.
Right.
And we're sinners saved by grace, so we can be wrong. Yeah, I was wrong one time. No, I've been wrong a lot of times. I've been wrong a lot of times. Amen. And so have you. Don't laugh too hard. Amen. The infallible. Now, this is my final authority. Where do you go when you want the answer to what is truth? Where do you go when you say, well, is homosexuality wrong? Is bestiality wrong? Is pedophilia wronged?
Yes.
Where do you go? Well, I don't go to universities because there's a bunch of them up there teaching it that practice the things I'm looking to see if it's right or wrong. I don't go to the government because they're going to go by the most popular opinion. I ain't picking on you. You just happen to be there. Okay, I had this sermon before I knew you was going to be it. But truth's truth. Amen. I'd hate to see what you have to listen to sometimes. But listen, truth is truth. So where am I going to go? Is there somewhere on planet Earth or someone one that I can go to and get something without any mixture of error to base my faith and my lifestyle on. Yes, there is. The Word of God.
Yes.
Turn to Deuteronomy 32:4. Deuteronomy 32:4. How do you know that your Bible is all truth? And by the way, I wouldn't hang around with anybody that doubted not one verse of the King James Bible. Now there may be some words in there you don't understand. You can buy you a dictionary. But I wouldn't hang around anybody that cast doubt on the Word of God. Deuteronomy 32, look at verse 4. He is the rock, capital R. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. God judges us all day long, every day.
Right.
A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Now, I know I have absolute truth because it's written by a God of truth.
Amen.
Titus 1:2 says to God that cannot lie. It's physically impossible for God to lie.
Right.
I couldn't pick up this building and carry it off. He could. And we went walking through the woods yesterday and saw some trees he just about picked up and carried off the other day. Big, big old trees, you know. I couldn't have picked one of those up. It's physically impossible. But hey, because I'm built that way. Well, God's built that in such a way he can't lie.
Right.
It's physically impossible for God to tell a lie. Now turn to John 14. Look at verse 6. I got to hurry up. I'm running out of time. John 14:6. That clock, yeah, that's pretty close. John 14:6. He says this in verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Turn to John 1:14. John 1:14. Now if you believe the Bible, and quit reading polls and opinions. John 1:14. Look here. In verse 14, he says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and
Amen.
He's full of truth. Amen. Full of truth. Turn to John 8:45. John 8:45, if you will. Now I gotta get there myself. In John 8:45, if you look at it with me. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Look at John 8:32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So not only do I have a God of truth, I have a Savior of truth. He's a Savior of truth. He won't lie to me. He won't mislead me. He won't trick me. Amen. John 14:17, and we'll turn there, and I got to skip a few of my references because I've been talking too long. But verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Amen. The day of Pentecost fixed that. He's in us now. So, I have a perfect truth. I have a perfect guide that leads me into perfect truth. I have a perfect Savior that won't mislead me from the truth. I have a perfect God who is nothing but truth. Amen? So what is truth? God's truth. Well, what is truth? Jesus Christ is truth. What is truth? The Spirit of God is truth. Amen. Hold on. Romans 2:2. Now, I have to admit something, Romans 2:2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. Now, God's judgments are truth. That's what they are. And people will look at you and you quote scripture to them. They say, you can't judge me. I say, I'm not judging you. I'm just telling you what God said. If you feel judged, that's because God told you that. I can't convict you. Nobody can convict you but your spirit, and it can only be convicted by the Holy Spirit. And if somebody reads you scripture and scripture's truth, and that touches your heart or your mind or your soul, that's God the Holy Ghost speaking to you through His holy, perfect, truthful word. Why don't you just add, own up to it and say, amen and oh me. That preacher preached right at me. No, I didn't. I just preached. Truth hits you is what done it.
Amen.
I used to think that preacher pointing that big old fat finger right at me. Every time I looked up, I felt like he was pointing right at me every time. He could be pointing over here and preaching. I think he's talking about me.
Yeah.
Because it's truth.
Yeah.
You can't deny the truth.
That's right.
Now, Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Look at it. I want you to turn to this one and write it. I mean, underline it. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 17. Excuse me. Ephesians 4. I'm going to wait on you. Girl went to Bible college. She likes to brag on how fast she can make it. Wasn't that you? That wasn't you. That was gone. That was the Methodist upraising, right? I'm proud of you. You said, I got it. Somebody said, I got it. I'm proud of you. Whoever it was, I'm glad you said it. Who? Ephesians 4. Look here. Verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their what? That's where untruth comes from, vain thinking. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the, it, what? The ignorance that is in them. Ignorant of what? The Word of God.
Yeah.
Because of their blindness of their heart. Why are they blind in their heart? Because they don't know the truth of the Word of God. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, that's loose living, to work all uncleanness with greediness. That's where we are in our country. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that you've heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put all concerning the former conversation, that lifestyle of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. See, you're being deceived. And being renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore put away lying and speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. If there is no truth, why did God, the God of truth, teach godly standards of morality in His Bible? If there is no right and wrong, why would God say you ought to be living a holy and a different life, a true life from the truth that I've revealed to you through the holy, true scriptures? Amen? There is truth. There is truth. And God wouldn't have told us that we have to obey the truth if we didn't know what the truth. God's never given a command that He didn't give the answer for. God's never given a command that He didn't give the ability to obey the command. God's not a hard taskmaster that will tell you to do something and you won't know whether it's true or not. It's always true. You ever had somebody look at you and tell you something you thought, I don't know. That never happened with God. That never happened with God's Word. And God would not have told us that there is an absolute truthful way to live if we could not obey that.
Amen.
I'll be honest with you, I get tired of Christians making excuses for that. They say they got saved from the old life and they never changed.
Right.
And they say, well, you know, we're all sinners. Shut your mouth. I'm a saint saved by the grace of God and sometimes I sin.
That's right.
But I don't stay that way.
That's right.
And I got out of that. And He helped me. He brought me out of that. He delivered me from that. He set me free by His truth. He never would have said He'd set me free if He couldn't do it or wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
So quit making up your lies and try to admit whether or not you're saved. If you're not saved, get saved. I'm afraid a lot of people that say those kind of things have never found the truth to start with. I hear Christians say this, well, what's right for you might not be right for me, and what's right for me may not be right for you. That's not in the Bible anywhere.
Right.
The truth, God's never said do this and, or if you think it's all right, and don't do it if you don't think it's all right. No, sir. He just has commands and expects you to do them because they're true. The only person that would say something like that would be a person that believes in that relative view of truth. Whatever it means to you at that moment. Now that's a lie right out of hell. If it was ever wrong, it's still wrong. If it was ever right, it's still right. If it was ever truth, it's still truth. Truth does not change. Truth stands. Now compromise changes. Look here. It's like this. There's truth.
That's right.
20 years from now, here's somebody that said they used to be right there. 20 years later, here's somebody else that said they used to believe that over there. 20 years later, here's somebody. And you know what they're doing? They're changing their truth, what they call truth, to go with the times. You see, what Pentecostals used to say and do 20 years ago, Baptists now do it. What the liberal Southern Baptist Convention used to do 20 years ago, now independent Baptists do it. And what the Lutherans and the Episcopalians, all those other Protestants used to do 20 years ago, and the Southern Baptists were right way back here. Now they're over here, and those Protestant denomination churches have moved farther away. And you keep getting farther and farther and farther and farther away from the truth till you will say, well, what is truth?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. 20 years from now, am I still on? You ain't mad at me, are you?
No.
If you are or not. 20 years from now, maybe longer, not much, somebody will be standing in this pulpit that will disagree with what I just said. People change. Institutions change. But the truth never changes. What is truth? Jesus said, I'm truth. What is truth? God said, I'm truth. Where do I find truth? God said, my word. What will the truth do if I accept it as a ultimate authority and there is no other authority and that's the final thing? What will happen to me if I accept that? Won't I lose friends? Sure will. You may lose family. Well, maybe I can't do that. I lose my job. Might do it. Or you might get right and just quit, not wait to get fired. Well, I can't do that. My children will desert me. They might do it. I might do it. My husband might leave me. Might do it. But I'm going to tell you what happened to you. If you accept the truth of God and God's word and his son as the Savior, the truth will set you free. And all those other people, they have to make that decision on their own that they want to be free too. And the cost is high on this earth, but the rewards are out of this world.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Preacher, ain't you worried that you're going to lose this, lose that? I quit worrying over that stuff a long time ago. When I saw the truth set me free.
Yes.
This world has very little to hold on to me.
Right.
I don't want to be nailed down on this stuff. And my worst day as a believer in truth is better than my worst day as an unbeliever in truth. My best day as an unbeliever in truth is, however I said that, write that down, okay? My worst day as a believer in truth is better than my best day when I believed in the untruth. I knew I'd get it right. Give me some slack, okay? You come up here and do this and look at your face. I wonder I can remember my name. Listen. I'm going to tell you what the truth is. Truth is, if I die right now, I'm going to heaven. Amen. Oh, you're a pretty good guy! No, I just found the truth of the way to get there.
Amen.
Amen. The truth is, I don't worry about hell anymore. Oh, you don't believe the Bible. Believe it from kiver to kiver. I even believe the kiver where it says Holy Bible.
That's right.
But I ain't got to worry about hell anymore. The truth has delivered me from death, hell, and the grave. I don't worry about dying anymore.
Right.
I don't want to get sick. Nobody wants to be sick. I want to do like my mama. Just lay down one day and a day later close my eyes and wake up in glory. But I'm ready to go. If it's sickness, car wreck, fire, or getting shot by some Muslim, however it happens, I ain't worried about it. I'm free from that.
Yes, sir.
I refuse to live in fear when I'm free.
Praise the Lord.
You shouldn't have to live in the United States of America and live in fear of being hurt or accosted because you're supposed to be in a free country. You want to go to church if you want to go to church. Well, not being on laws on that.
Yes.
I really think we've been ripped off big time. But anyway, look, here's what you need to do. You need to say, the one that set me free will keep me free.
Right.
And when it comes to die, he will deliver me from this jailhouse called my tabernacle. And he'll set my spirit free.
Yes.
And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, who is truth.
Yeah. Amen.
And there's no shadow of turning in him. That means he doesn't change. He changes not. The same Savior I believed on in 1978, March the 5th, 12:15, after the 300th verse of Just As I Am Without One Plea. That's what it felt. That same day, that Savior I believed on that day has gone with me every day since. And that's truth. And he's going to go with me all the way to the other side. And that's truth. And I'm not worried about anything else. He's promised to supply all my needs. He's even said he'd give me desires of my heart. He'll put some things in my heart that's going to bless me too. So I want to ask you today, are you free from death, hell, and the grave? Are you saved? Have you received Jesus Christ as the ultimate truth? He said he's the way. He's the only way. There is no other way. And have you ever received that as your personal Savior? Not the Savior, a Savior, but your Savior?
Right.
Have you ever called on him and admitted you as a sinner and asked him to forgive you and save you and take you to heaven when you die and change you while you still live? Yeah. Well, if you did, that truth hadn't changed.
Right.
I forget which one. I was talking to one of Kenneth's friends last Sunday. And I asked him, I said, I heard you got saved. He said, well, I'm trying. I said, no, you ain't trying. It's a done deal. Either you believed on him and got saved or you didn't.
That's right.
Well, I'm working on it. No, the work's finished. He's already done that.
Amen.
All you have to do is receive that. It's me as received him. Just reach out and receive that. I said, did you ask him? He said, yeah. I said, count yourself saved. I said, did you mean business? He said, yeah. I said, then God means business. He never plays around. Count yourself saved. Well, I don't feel like it doesn't say anything about feelings. That comes later when you realize what truth you're really walking in. Amen? How it really sets you free. If you're not saved today, I'd like to encourage you. That ain't all I got to say. That's just all the time I got to say it. Next time somebody says, well, what's truth to you may not be truth to me. Say, well, Jesus said he's the truth. I found this little thing right here. It said, the truth declared, the preacher's business. The truth believed, the hearer's faith. The truth obeyed, the believer's duty. The truth rejected, the unbeliever's sin. The truth resisted, the opposer's work. The truth changed is the devil's will. Just receive the truth. I don't understand it. I don't understand how my car works all the time, but I'm going to drive that booger till it quits. I'm scared to death of electricity. Don't know how exactly how it works. But I'm going to use it as long as that switch will turn it on.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand. Father, thank you for your infallible, inerrant word. And I don't know everything.